Hey y'all, welcome again to Vines Online. If you're joining us for the first time, well, ahoy my mateys, welcome along. No, you haven't picked up and joined the Naval Society. It picks up our theme. We're actually just started the Anchor series, and this is our second week in. And you'll notice I've done some Dave's dodgy drawings behind me, and we'll develop that a little bit more as we go along. But, well, what a cold morning it's been this week, hasn't it? Every morning's been freezing, and it's currently 10 past 10 on Thursday morning when I'm actually filming this, and I'm still freezing. So, today's theme, as I said, we're doing the Anchor Theory series, and we're just trying to set ourselves to come out of the restrictions for COVID-19, slowly emerging, footy's back. Some people was like, yay, other people was like, So, I'm thinking with our Anchor series, we really need to get behind Frio this year, you know, with their Frio, Heave-ho, something like that. But anyway, so they are, I guess, a team that has that Anchor as a part of their theme. Anyway, I'm beginning to waffle. I need to get myself focused. So, welcome along. Today's theme, we've already talked about, and one of the things that happens in life and worship is that we bring our life with us. So I really don't know what sort of life you've had this week. So maybe you want to pause out of 1 to 10, 1 being horrid, 10 being fantastic. What has your week been like? What number would you give it? Just pause now, turn the person next to you, talk to yourself, think about it. What number? So the reason we give ourselves a number and we think about our life is because we bring our life to worship. And Sunday worship is a reset opportunity where whatever the horrors of last week might be, we can wash clean and start afresh. Let me share a prayer with you that picks up some of that theme. Lord, whatever our week has been like, whatever our month has been like, whatever our year has been like, whatever our decade has been like, whatever our lives have been like, help us to grasp a new link, a new truth that can shape our lives, something that will anchor us, hold us firm as we face the uncertain future, a way of seeing the world that maybe changes our sense of hope and purpose, a way of connecting your love into our context. Something that despite the uneven seas, the nausea, the fear, the anxiety, something that holds us firm. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from Hebrews. And again, it's just chapter 4, verse 7b and 14 to 16. So it's a short reading, but I'll supplement it with a reading further on. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Jesus, the high priest. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested. And we are yet without sin. Let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, it's one thing to talk about Jesus and being a high priest, but what does that mean? It's hard enough as adults sometimes, isn't it? So we tried to explore this theme for the kids. And with the Anchor series last week, I asked them to create some boats. Let's see what they come up with.
Geez, how'd you go with your boats? Oh, that looks like an impressive boat. Sam, did you do a boat? Another boat? That's sensational. You've got a boat behind her. So what have you got on your boat?
Anchor.
Anchor on your boat. And I notice you've got some other people in your boat. Gabby, who else is on your boat?
Who's on your boat, Gabby?
This is Scooby-Doo, Shaggy.
So, in a boat, who does all the steering in a boat? What are they called?
The captain.
The captain. So in a boat, you have a captain. As Christians, do we have a captain?
The captain.
If all the Christians are in a boat and we're going somewhere, who's our captain?
Jesus.
Jesus is our captain. That's always a good option. And what? Yes. Why do we have captains in a boat? Why do we need captains?
Because if you didn't have a captain, the boat, you wouldn't know where. You might think that there's a captain, but there's not, and you're just going on the sea and not going to where you want to.
Okay, so captains give us directions. That's what I hear you saying, Sam. What do you think, people? Yes, Malachi. Joe. Sorry, mate.
Captains steer the boat so you don't crash. If there was no captain, the boat would just go...
Yeah, that's pretty scary stuff, isn't it? So it's like driving a car without a steering, you know, like with no steering wheel or having no one at the wheel. Yeah, David.
There are actually cars which are automated like that.
There's always a smarty pants in the room.
So there's lots of different questions and directions that emerged from that introduction. And there's some further things that we explore in this next section.
What would happen to our lives if we didn't have Jesus as a captain? How would we sink? We would sink.
Yeah. Would we crash? Would we lose direction? What would happen? How does Jesus give us directions? Like, you know, how do we get shaped in our lives by Jesus? Thank you.
We can work through the Holy Spirit.
Okay, yeah. And what were we talking about the other day? What was the Holy Spirit like?
Anchors. Yep. An anchor.
Yeah, like it's anger, it's a power source we plug in. And so does Jesus say, right, I want you to go left and then right and then a bit further on, stop, and then go. How does Jesus give us directions? What do you think, boys, girls? How does Jesus say, hey, you've got to have 2 pancakes this morning and that's all? Or what does Jesus do? Does Jesus say, what is Jesus? 3 pancakes. Wow, that's pretty impressive. Can't wait till this COVID-19 is over. I'm coming around for pancakes. So how does Jesus, I mean, what sort of directions does Jesus give us?
Is Jesus bossy?
Is Jesus
the order us around?
The Bible.
So I really like the way they begin to experiment with some really difficult concepts about what it is to be direction, get direction, how do we do that, what's it like, what are some modern metaphors they would connect in with. And the conversation is interesting that it stirred Sarah and reminded her of a song. Let's listen to some of those words.
This talk reminded us of a song.
Oh, which one?
It's the Colin Buchanan one, and it goes, hey oh, hey oh, God united, hey oh, hey oh, I'm divided. He's the king and he's the captain. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Jesus won the victory.
Nice. That is very good, yes. I'll do you a sitting ovation.
So in the next section, I endeavour to summarise and try to gather together all the different thoughts that we've been talking about.
Jesus helped us be strong and not afraid. And sometimes in the Bible, we see stories of Jesus' disciples being afraid, and then Jesus comes along and makes them brave. So Jesus is our captain. Helps us face our fears, doesn't it?
So, again, I really enjoy these Zoom chats, and it's amazing where the conversation goes. And I like the opportunity to see faith from a different perspective. So I'm hoping that these conversations do that for you too, as they generate a different way of seeing the world. Because in the end, that's really what it's about, isn't it? So, let me share some notices. Now, as you know, we've had lots of changes here, and in the Grapevine next week, again, we'll do an update for finances and Strawberry Fair. Again, we're trying to be proactive as a leadership team to try and come up with some ways of exploring the impacts that COVID-19 and actually a number of years have impacted on us as an organization. So look forward to that. Keep yourself looking for that. Again, the Grape on the Saturday will contain some other resources for your service, the sermon. And again, it's an aim to try and stir and stimulate your thinking about what is happening in your life. So let's join the band as we listen to them as they lead us in Just Let Me Say.
Good morning. Let's sing together.
Just let me say how much I love you. Let me speak of your mercy and grace. Just let me live in the shadow of your beauty. Let me see you face to face. And the earth will shake as your word goes forth, and the heavens can tremble and fall. Just let me say how much I love you, oh my Savior, my Lord and friend. Just let me hear your finest whispers as you gently call my name, and let me see your power and your glory. Let me feel your spirit's flame. Let me find you in the desert till this sand is holy ground, and I am found completely surrendered to you, my Lord. Let me say how much I love you. With all my heart I long for you. For I am caught in this passion of knowing, this endless love I found in you. And the depth of grace, the forgiveness found, to be called child of God, just makes me say how much I love you, oh my Savior, my Lord and friend. Just makes me say how much I love you, oh my Savior, my Lord and friend. And the depth, forgiveness found, to be called a child of God, just makes me say how much I love you, oh my Savior, my Lord and friend. Just makes me say how much I love you, oh my Savior, my Lord and friend.
Thank you, Ben, for leading us in those words and that song. Let's pause as we offer a prayer before we listen to the word. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our lives. We trust that you would continue to shape how we understand and explore your love. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, last week, I was talking about how the early Christians used anchor tattoos as a way to indicate they were Christians. You know, a subtle way, you know, to try and mix it up so they wouldn't get captured and tortured. When I was younger, the only people I used to see who had tattoos were bikies or, you know, maybe defence members. But nowadays, everybody seems to have tats. Like when I was in the army, you know, I met this young fellow who had, at the beginning of his time, yeah, had a couple of tats. After about five or six years, he was covered in tattoos. And had this massive back tattoo and a leg tattoo and a sleeve. I mean, it looked insane. It was amazing. But he was walking around with a house deposit. It's very expensive. And it's interesting that for some people, there's a real reason they've got their tattoo. Other people, they really enjoy the fact that Mickey Mouse is riding a dragon with a lightsaber. They just like the image. But for others, there's a really particular meaning. And that helped me coin a phrase when I was writing my master's thesis. A phrase I liked, which was tattoo truths. You know, what are those truths in our lives that are so important that we would tattoo them on ourselves? Now, I'm not advocating you do tattoos, although if we come back in 6 weeks or 4 months' time and everybody's covered in tats, then I know you've taken this to heart. But metaphorically, what I'm speaking about is, what are those truths in your life that are so important that you would actually consider tattooing them on your body? I remember watching a movie with Guy Pearce. I can't remember what it was called. But it was a movie where he was trying to solve this mystery. And I'm not sure what exactly it was, a crime story or something had happened to him. But every morning he'd wake up and he couldn't forget what he'd learned the day before. So he started tattooing things onto his body. And every morning he'd wake up and then he'd strip off and then try and find this tattoo and figure out what the tattoo meant. Now, I've never watched the movie again because I've been not sure whether it was a terrible movie, but I just liked the imagery. It really fitted nicely with what I was thinking. But he had a problem, and his strategy was to get the tattoos. The challenge was, what was the interpretation? What did it mean? So what about you? What are some truths about your life you've discovered that you never want to forget? That are those things that anchor you in those storms, those difficulties, those things that transform or sustain you? And that's a really important question, because faith comes alive in our experiences. They cannot be separated. Faith, experience, live together, grind together, wrestle, get pulped. The truth emerges of our faith out of those experiences. And we know that the experiences with God, sometimes they can be very profound, other times very subtle. And I remember hearing about one of Australia's missionaries to the mission fields in Africa. And she shared this story about how she was called to the mission fields and it was like an audible voice. So she's about 20, she hears this audible voice, go to Africa. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if God spoke to us, told us stuff? Well, I actually think yes and no. I mean, precedence is a difficult thing to deal with, because sometimes, like for example, this missionary woman could have then decided, well, God has spoken to me once. What I'll do is I'll wait for God to speak to me again and tell me what missionary agency I go with, or what boat I catch, or when I should leave, or what I should take with me, or should I go with somebody else? And so you have all these lists of things that suddenly, because God's spoken to her in one way, the assumption is God will speak to her forever in that way. Interesting that this woman had God speak to her and she responded in faith. Now, she had a clear anchor point in her life, didn't she? As a missionary. You know, why am I a missionary? Well, God told me to go. I went. So for her, that was something that was profound. And what I really found interesting was that she said that was the only time in her entire life that God spoke to her that way. Wow. She could have been angry. She could have been frustrated. She could have felt, what about me? But there was something in her understanding of faith that just enabled her to maintain, despite her doubts, her anxiety, her uncertainty about when, who, where, why. And so that really reminds me that we don't need lots of anchor points in our lives, do we? We need one, maybe one anchor. And maybe you're trying to figure out what your anchor looks like and how your anchor has been shaped in your life. And maybe you've discovered that for you, an anchor point has been a negative. Maybe your whole life has been colored with this negative perception of life. Maybe you've painted your whole life and relationships or yourself in this negative way. So it could be that your tattoo truth is actually a negative. Now, tattoo truths are supposed to be empowering things. Anchors are supposed to be those things that hold you firm in a positive way. So if you've got some negative anchors, man, you need to, or woman, you need to find some different anchors. How can you turn that around? How can you shape that differently? Because anchors to work effectively need to be more than simply relics in the corner. They need to be useful, life-giving things. They need to be effective, life-saving devices. They need to be maintained and cared for. And that's really what we're trying to encourage you. That missionary woman who had that anchor experience once in her life was able to endure all sorts of hardship because of that one experience. But it was more than that. Because behind us, you can see the anchor. And if the anchor's got no chain, it just simply sits on the bottom of the ocean, doesn't it? Or it just sits on a boat and you can't do anything with it. Imagine if you had an anchor with no chain. You couldn't even leave the safe harbor. You'd be stuck. So what faith and life is about is generating links, generating faith points around the anchor that link that to us. That experience of faith, that anchor, Jesus, that encounter, God, grace, love, whatever it is, are linked to us through events and different scenarios. And that becomes really important because Jesus encounters us in our experiences. It's not some academic thing. This is a lived experience. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. Jesus has been through weakness and testing, experiencing it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what is so, that is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. I like that reading. That was from the Message version. So Jesus experienced all our weaknesses and testing. He cried at the death of Lazarus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked God to take away this cup. And when he was faced with his mother at the foot of the cross, yeah, what would that have felt like? The New Testament reminds us that, well, the Bible is full of life stuff, hardship, grief and loss. That is where our faith is connected. Take the mercy, accept the help, the Hebrew writer would argue. Take the mercy, accept the help. So often in life, people think that, you know, when hardship happens, we're the only ones going through it. That somehow we, and I guess that's really like what grief is. It just sort of draws our world in and we become blinkered, where we think that somehow we are the only ones who are struggling. But the truth is, that's not the case at all. That's where we have to reach out. On the radio, I was listening to the CEO of Lifeline, who said that since their inception in 1963, this year, the bushfires and COVID-19 have meant it's their busiest year ever. People are struggling with anxiety and loneliness. That's why we have a motto, phone a friend, choose life, because we're wanting you to be proactive, to do something, to say, hey, there are people there willing to support. Take the mercy, accept the help. That's what this is about. It reminds me very much of the experience of the disciples, Peter, and he's a great character, isn't he? Always putting his foot in it. There's a story about Jesus and the disciples walking on the water in the boat. So let me read to you from Matthew 14, 22 to 33. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in their fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." Peter answered, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed a strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got in the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, this reading I want to unpack a bit more over the next couple of weeks. And what I like about this reading is that Peter was actually walking on the water. Let's never forget that. He might have sunk, but man, he walked on the water. An insane experience that would have been. You can imagine Peter always thinking of that experience of the time he stepped out in faith and walked on the water. And then as his fears overwhelmed and his anxiety, the other anchor point that would have held him was Jesus reached out to help him when he called. And look, I don't know what he was thinking, but in the end he realized, "I'm in over my head. Lord, save me. Take the mercy, accept the help." So I think for Peter, those two experiences would have added to the others that would have continued to link in that significant sense of how God in Jesus relates to us. And so when Peter gets to the time when Jesus is betrayed and he himself denies Jesus, just like Judas did, instead of killing himself, Peter understands that God's love is greater than his failure, whereas Judas believed that his failure was greater than God's love. You see the difference? Somehow Peter was having to build these links to his anchor of God's love and choice of him that enabled him to grow and discover new things. "Even in my failure, I'm loved," Peter knew. So let's walk right up to Jesus and get what he's so ready to give. Take the mercy. Accept the help. We need to add links to our lives through our experiences. And this COVID-19, this bushfire season, and there's some links we're building or need to be or can be. And that's where our action and reflection is so important. And I think today's link is really trying to enforce accept the help. And behind me, you can see the little man sinking with his help. And maybe you can even see the link which says help. I mean, do you need to add that link to your anchor? Is your chain needing to grow? And maybe part of that is asking for help. Phone a friend. Phone me. I'm happy to chat. So lots of different opportunities for connecting now we can make. None of us has everything sorted. I'm not the guru. You're not the guru. We don't know everything. And we kid ourselves if we think we do. Because life continues to teach stuff to us. Because life is all about change. So, I'm not sure what you're going to take from today. Maybe the idea of the tattoo truth you connect with. Maybe it's that link. It's building your anchor. Maybe it's discovering a new anchor. I don't know. Maybe it's a time to pause and consider. Let me share a prayer and then we'll listen to the In Christ Alone from the band. So let's pause. Lord Jesus, we're talking about lots of stuff today. I ask that a metaphor might stick. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thanks, band. Thank you.
strength, my soul, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights now grown, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied for every sin. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. As he stands in victory, since God has lost his grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Here in the power of Christ.
So that concludes our time together today. Another 30-ish minutes. I just pray that you continue to be encouraged as you journey through this time together. And don't forget our motto is phone a friend and choose life. Because you can't catch the virus over the phone, but you can pass on God's love. Don't forget the Zoom chat will be happening very shortly. You can jump in for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour. And a Zoom morning tea. God's peace go with you. Amen.